Welcome to Junior Doctors Corner, the podcast that helps medical students and junior doctors like yourself not only survive but thrive in your careers. We cover topics including doctor well-being, career, and life outside of medicine. My name is Dana and I am your host for this podcast. Are you ready for a healthy dose of support, motivation, and inspiration? Then let's start this episode stat.
Hey everyone, just keeping this short and sweet because I'm sick today. This is another collaboration episode with ASLM. Hope you enjoy this interview that I did with dietitian Colleen Condon on healthy eating. The views expressed and information shared in this episode are independent of the Australasian Society of Lifestyle Medicine, ASLM. They do not necessarily reflect the position of ASLM. For further information on ASLM's position, go to www.lifestylemedicine.org.au/about. Hi, Colleen Condon. Thank you so much for joining me on Junior Doctors Corner.
Hi, Dana. Lovely to meet you.
And so before we begin, please introduce yourself to our listeners who may not be familiar with your work.
Yes. Okay. So I'm a accredited practicing dietitian and also an accredited sports dietitian. So I currently work in private practice. Primarily my client base is actually Defence Force personnel. So I help Defence Force personnel who are referred to me for lots of different medical reasons and across a wide range of ages, including a lot of younger adults. I have also recently completed board certification for lifestyle medicine as well as fellowship, and I'm currently studying postgraduate culinary nutrition, which is very exciting.
Congratulations. And so let's start off by busting some myths. Can you please talk about the difference between dietitians and nutritionists? Because I swear, I think in medical school, we only spent like one lecture on nutrition and dietetics, which is a very, very massive and complex topic. So can you please start with that?
I can indeed. And that's actually a really important question because there's so much confusion about that. So it's really important to recognise that nutritionist is actually not a legally protected name. So anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. Yes, there are some nutrition courses at university. So some nutritionists actually do have university qualifications, but not necessarily anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. So it's really important to look at, as always, to look at the credentials of someone, but particularly in this nutrition space. And so it's not a regulated profession, whereas dietitians, we complete masters at approved universities, accredited practicing dietitians. We have very strict continuing professional education, as do doctors. It's very regulated, you know, with code of conduct. We can be deregistered. Anything we say has to have the scientific evidence behind it. There's actually quite a lot of difference, but so many people don't know, and it leads to a lot of confusion because people don't know the information they read. They think that it's scientifically based, but it's not necessarily. So it's a really important distinction.
That's a really good point to clarify. Now, perhaps my next question can in some ways be a bit rhetorical, but I'm sure you can help me out here. What exactly is healthy eating? Is there a definition? I mean, there's so many different diets out there. Like, we know, being medically trained, we know of the Mediterranean diet. It's good for heart health. But then there's also the rise of intuitive eating. There's just so much going on. Can we start with, is there a set definition for healthy eating and going on with all these diets?
It can be, again, very confusing because there's so much misinformation out there. But healthy eating is actually not a strict diet. The healthy eating pattern is what we should aim for. And there's consensus on what a healthy eating pattern is. So it's primarily, it's an eating pattern. And when I say diet, that is actually someone's eating pattern. But it's an eating pattern made primarily of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, nuts, legumes, seeds, herbs, spices, with seafood, good quality protein, moderate amounts, and limiting those treat foods and the ultra-processed foods that are so dominant in our society. So that's a healthy eating pattern. And that can fit into vegetarian eating or mixed eating. We do want plant-rich diet, that's healthy eating. And the Mediterranean diet is definitely a healthy eating pattern. And as well, as you said, it's very good for heart health. It's good for so many aspects of physical health, but there's also really good evidence of Mediterranean diet and healthy eating being really important for mental health too. Mental health promotion, but also the treatment of mental health conditions. So it's not just physical health, it's also mental health as well.
And so you mentioned that it's more about healthy eating pattern. So does that mean that there are no hard and fast rules around this is exactly how much you should be taking of X, Y, and Z, et cetera?
Yeah. So for general healthy eating, that's correct. There's no hard and fast rules. There's guidelines because life isn't, you know, eating isn't hard and fast rules. And that's where a lot of fad diets, they're quite restrictive and they have hard and fast rules. And people, humans can be quite attracted to that. You know, here's a solution. I'll do this rules. But it's actually, that's not real life, but it's also not healthy eating because you also, a really important part of healthy eating is developing a healthy relationship with food. Those hard and fast rules don't allow you to do that. So you have guidelines, you have patterns, but we don't eat the same each day. Our days are different. So we have these guidelines.
So with this guideline that you allude to, which ones are evidence-based and which ones do you refer to?
I refer to a plant-rich diet. As I said, you don't necessarily have to be vegetarian, with plenty of those vegetables, fruits, whole grains, nuts, seeds, legumes, those sort of really powerhouse healthy nutrients that are filling and full of really healthy micronutrients and polyphenols. So that's the main one. Actually, the two things is plant-rich eating with healthy plant-rich foods, healthy protein, but also the second one is to reduce those ultra-processed foods, which is a definition of the foods that are heavily manufactured using industrial products. The ingredients that are classed as having little or no culinary use. So they're not ingredients you're going to find in your pantry or your kitchen. Having half your meal for lunch and dinners as vegetables, if you do that, that's a simple guideline that's really easy to remember, including some good quality proteins, some good quality carbohydrates, some whole grain carbohydrates, and then reducing those ultra-processed foods. You don't have to cut them out, but you're reducing them because in Australia at the moment, it's about 30% of our energy intake is from those ultra-processed foods, which is far too high.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess that's like really broad brush strokes around healthy eating. And then depending on the individual, if they have other needs, they would need to consult a dietitian for further guidance.
Correct. Yeah. So that's healthy eating for the general person. And then dietitians were also qualified, obviously, for medical nutrition therapy. So if we're referred someone with a specific medical condition, we then can refine our advice around that.
And so with eating, it does require a little bit of time to sit down and actually do it. How can exhausted and time poor junior doctors eat healthily? You know, they work crazy hours. Is it okay for them to be living on pre-made meals? There's been this whole boom in these pre-made meal companies like Muscle Chef, You Foods, you know, like the list goes on. Do you have any thoughts on those as well?
Well, and that's actually part of the skill set of a dietitian is helping someone in their lifestyle to eat as healthily as they can, because everyone's life is different. And yes, junior doctors are very time poor. So we look at that. So again, I would say those two things, thinking of half your meals to be vegetables and reducing ultra processed foods. If you have that as your basis and build around that, you can do that. Specifically to your question about You Foods and My Muscle Chef, absolutely. They're made from meal. You know, they're made from food ingredients. Choose ones that meet that criteria with plenty of vegetables and with whole grains or healthy carbohydrate and good quality protein. But absolutely, they can be part of a healthy eating pattern. And when you're time poor, that can be very, very useful. And there's also, even in supermarkets, they have this pre-made soups, you know, in the chilled section or other meals in the chilled section. Again, look at the balance of the meal, read the ingredient list. Because if the ingredient list is so long of unrecognizable ingredients, it's not going to be a healthy option. Yeah, and absolutely stack up your fridge and your freezer with those, because that's going to help you. It's also things like a little bit of planning and organization goes a long way. So planning to buy those, but also planning to buy healthy snacks. Have some unsalted nuts in your bag or your pocket. When you're hungry, if you want something quick, you grab that rather than chips out of the vending machine, or roasted chickpeas, or have some fruit in your locker. choose water rather than soft drink. Things like that are just going to help you through a really busy day to help keep your healthy eating going. And as we said, looking after your physical and mental health. So yeah, they do have a place. Some of the other foods in the freezer section, they're more ultra processed foods because they're not made from the proper ingredient. But you can be clever and absolutely get those pre-prepared meals that are healthy, that follow those guidelines of, you know, half your meal vegetables, good quality proteins and carbohydrates, and keeping the ultra processed foods reduced. You know, treats are part of a healthy diet, so we shouldn't feel we should never have treats, but it's small amounts occasionally. And when you have them, really enjoy them. That's the other thing. We want to enjoy our food.
That's really good to know. And I think the other bit that I thought maybe we can hear from you about is there's often a lot of language around good and bad foods, which my understanding is that it's not very helpful because it affects our relationship with food. Can you please tell us a bit more about the issues with that?
Well, yep, dietitians hate that people call foods good and bad because it's actually, in a way, assigning a moral value on food, isn't it? Whereas food is food, like it's an important part of our life, but it shouldn't rule our life. Again, it comes back to a healthy eating pattern. And if you generally eat those foods that we talked about, you've got a healthy eating pattern. But if someone sees me sitting down and having a chocolate, they're going to say, oh, that dietitian, she's eating bad food, but they don't see where I've eaten all day, you know, and chocolate is a treat. And if I have a small amount and enjoy it, that's lovely. So really the only bad foods are foods that have got mold growing on them and things like that. So we really want to avoid that classification of food of good and bad and look at, again, the healthy eating patterns. And we also have to stop ourselves judging other people too, thinking, oh, they're eating something that's bad for them. We don't know. You don't know from seeing someone eat one food what their diet is like. I agree with you entirely. Good and bad food, it's not helpful.
So would it be better to classify it as frequency of having those foods? Like I've heard of classification like sometimes food.
Yeah. So treat foods, as I said, the definition of how we should eat treat foods is small amounts occasionally. But I always add to that and really savour them, really enjoy them, because there's no point wolfing down a treat and not enjoying it. And then you actually eat more of it. So treats are part of a healthy diet in small amounts and occasionally, you know, not eating treats all the time. That's obviously flips the diet into a less healthy eating pattern. But yeah, small amounts occasionally is the way to look at it. And as I said, really savour those treats.
And I don't know if I'm about to open a big can of worms here, but with shopping a supermarket, you mentioned looking at the nutritional label in the back, things like that, scanning for ingredients to see if we recognise it, things like that. But I've noticed that there are a lot of food packaging these days come with a little circular label that has stars on it.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that's called. It's some kind of rating. Should we be relying on those? Should we be ignoring them? What are your thoughts?
I think to utilize those, you have to understand the system that they were developed in. And so it actually will refer to a food within a specific grouping of foods. It's an imperfect system. I teach people to read labels. The main thing is actually look at the ingredient list. Turn it over, look at the ingredient list. You know, you don't want sugar or sugar items or refined carbohydrate right at the beginning. You want real foods that you recognize. It's important to know that the ingredient list, what's listed first, there's most of in that food, and what's listed last, there's least of. And as I said, with the ultra processed foods, there's more and more and more ingredients. So you want shorter ingredient lists of foods that you recognize. So those health foods, the ratings, they have their place, but people really need to understand them to use them well. I think it's better to look at the back and also ignore all the marketing on the front. We have to realize that so much of that is marketing, you know, low fat foods or, you know, low carb foods. Now the food industry, that they'll promote foods in a way that's going to encourage people to buy more because that's what they want. They want people to buy their food.
Okay, so if in doubt, just look at the nutritional label on the back.
But actually the ingredient list, that's what I look at first, and then I look at the nutrition information panel. So I actually look at the ingredient list first.
Okay, ingredients list, then nutritional label.
Yeah, because again, we eat foods, don't we, not nutrients. So it's good to know what foods we're eating.
Yeah, and lastly, do you have any other tips or advice for young doctors and medical students about having a healthy, balanced diet?
I would say take it back to the basics that we talked about, having those core foods as the main part of your diet, having a diverse range of plant foods, because that really promotes a healthy gut microbiome, you know, and that affects our physical and mental health. So you want food variety, and don't feel guilty about treats. Put them in their place and enjoy them. But also sometimes recognize that you just have to do the best you can, and don't beat yourself up. If you've got exams and your eating isn't following the patterns that you really would like to follow most of the time, but it's just getting you through a few weeks, that's fine. And then you get back on track. And there's even, you know, making those little choices, isn't it? If you are getting a pizza, instead of the meat lover's pizza, perhaps choose the vegetarian pizza, you know, little things like that. So you do the best you can in some of those periods. That's just what you have to do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really great advice. It's about doing it well as much as we can.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, most of the time, not being perfect because it doesn't exist.
No. And also we just want to enjoy our food. That's actually really important as well.
What other tips do you have for junior doctors when it comes to eating habits?
I think actually that's a really important word, Dana. Habits is all the small habits that we incorporate into our day-to-day life that really adds up to a healthy eating pattern. Like I said, it's things like having some mixed nuts in your bag or your pocket as a snack for when you're hungry. Maybe having a habit of not going to the vending machine straight away. Having a habit of I don't drink soft drink at work. Little habits like that can really help make your life easier in following a healthy eating pattern. And it also means you're not making lots of decisions all the time, because if you make a decision of a habit that no soft drink at work, that's one decision done. You don't have to sort of grapple with that decision every time you look at the drinks.
Ah, that makes sense. That certainly does eliminate or help reduce decision fatigue.
Yes. It then becomes just part of your normal life, but you're eating a healthier diet. So that's going to benefit, like I said, your physical and mental health.
Okay. So with dietitians, you guys are very much a regulated profession. And also you mentioned that everything that you guys do or recommend is evidence-based. So it would make sense that doctors who spend very little time studying about, you know, dietetics and nutrition to refer to you guys for patients that they are struggling with, especially as you mentioned, their specific type of therapies that may be required for specific medical conditions. So can you please tell us a bit more about what you would do with patients and how it would be beneficial for doctors to refer to you guys?
Absolutely. Because dietitians, we're the experts in nutrition, and we're there to help patients and help doctors achieve the best for their patients. And we also have longer consults than doctors, so we have time to really speak to the patient. So we have the referral from the doctor with the specific medical issue, but then we also go through talking to the patient about what their current eating is, what their feelings are about their medical needs, their social aspects of their life, their family life, so that we can, with the medical nutrition therapy, we have the time and the expertise to apply that to the individual to help them achieve their health goals.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us, Colleen.
Thank you, Dana. Lovely to speak to you. And it's a really important area. And for time poor, very busy and sometimes very stressed people, it's very, very important to try and eat healthily, but to understand what that is.
If you really like that episode, please don't forget to leave a review on iTunes to help a sister out. And don't forget to subscribe to our email list so that you never miss an episode.